Give God praise. Amen. And I'm going to talk about the choir, the director, the drummer, the bass player, all y'all. I'm just going to put it like that. Say all y'all. Amen. Amen. We just thank God because it is a blessing. Amen. And glory to his holy name. Amen. Thank our ministerial staff for, we couldn't say that. Something I couldn't say not long ago. Now I can say, God, thank you for my ministerial staff. Hallelujah. Amen. See, God sends you what you need. Amen. Amen. And we thank him for all that. All the ushers, everybody who serves in their respective places. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. I'm not going to prolong the time. I realize that there is a situation of all manner of biscuits and hotcakes and things on people's mind about this time, probably. Amen. Amen. We understand all that, so we're going to go right ahead. But we do have a good meal from the Lord. Amen. And so we want to move right on into that meal. Got a few things here that we've been talking about, and some connected ideas have come as a result of that. And I always like how God does that. I just thank him for the things that he does. Amen. So if you were here, and just in case you weren't here, on last week we talked about perfection by the resurrection. And we said with that, this is what we want to get you to talk about today, that when Jesus defeated the grave, we always look at, I think there's a lot of emphasis put on the cross, and there should be. But that was an awful thing in one sense, in the sense that man had misjudged God who had come in the flesh. In order to bless him, God has never done anything against man, negative. God has always wanted man to be saved. And that means everyone, all people. God has never been God's intention for anyone to ever be in sin. Never, not from the beginning. How you know? He made everything and it was perfect. And then he said, let us make man in our image. And after our likeness, in the plural, you notice. And he made Adam on the sixth day when everything was done. And he's blessed him, put him in the midst of everything he made. Know what he did next? He said, all that I made, that's for you. What a blessing. You want to talk about a gift? All of that is yours. I give that to you. Put that under your feet. See what I'm saying? You have dominion. That's the word, the biblical word. I was just trying to simplify it just a little bit. But he said, I give you that, all of that. Explore it. Make it yield its secrets to you. It's got stuff in it. I gave it, made it so interesting you can spend generations and never figure out everything about it. It's so awesome. That's why the Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God and the earth or the firmament shows his handiwork. You can look at what he made and boy, this God is awesome. Yeah, I was looking at some birds. I'm just going to digress for a minute here. Some particular birds, and then I looked over and saw a porcupine with needles coming all out his back, and like, wow, look at the diversity of the stuff God made. Look in the sea. They found some fish one day. They said the other day, Brother Petey, back weeks back, talking about these things weigh 6 tons, and they've been a whole new species. I said, it's new to you, because you just got down there where you could see that he lived down there. And you know what I'm saying? But tell me, how did that evolve? How did a fish that weighed 35,000 pounds or 3,000 pounds, how did that evolve? Explain that to me, please. And there is no explanation. And there's some more stuff y'all don't know about. You got things growing with needles out his back. Look like he would be in pain to me. If you touched him, you will be in pain. he's got stuff like that. Spiders with poison and snakes. There's poison in them, but it ain't killing them. But it'll kill you. Well, come on now. You can look at what he made. It's so awesome. There must be a God. You can't figure that kind of a thing evolved. There's one insect. He's got two different solutions, one in one bladder on this side, one on that side, and they're connected to his claws, and he shoots them both off, and when they hit together, it explodes. They call it a bombardier beetle. Well, come on now. How are you going to have something like that? You got two things, or if you hit them together, they blow up, and it's in your body, and you ain't blowing up. Well, come on now. Don't tell me that evolved. Come on now. See, evolution, the reason they have never proven it is because it didn't ever happen. It never happened. There is none. God made everything, and he made it fascinating. There's all kinds of stuff that you can just look, anything you want to study. You can go to a university and study for 20 years on one thing. There's people writing papers right now, thesis this thick on the fruit fly. You know what? We don't know everything about a fruit fly. Right now, they get a degree, a PhD, because they spent their whole time studying the fruit fly. You know, and there's so much to know about every little thing God made. And it's because he's so awesome. Your body knows enough chemistry would blow the chemist's mind to figure it out. They still can't figure it out. They're specialists. Oh, we've got to send you to the endocrinologist because there's some enzymes and different kinds of stuff in your body that needs to be balanced. So we have to send you there or there. And all the labs and all that, they still don't know how that works. All they know is they practice dealing with it. And we can read a little bit of it this way or that way. See, but God designed it. I've always said, I'm so glad I don't need to know how to send stuff from my pituitary down to my liver to tell it to do something and all that. If I had to know that, boy, I'd be in bad shape. You know, but you don't have to know. It's in there. It's built in. More chemistry than a chemist would learn in his whole lifetime. Right in your body. The one you're sitting in. I mean, how does tear ducts, how does that produce tears? There's a lot of stuff. So what you ought to know is that there is a master creator. He made this thing here, this flesh suit, so he could get in one himself one day. And that's what we're going to talk about. And he did that. On the first Christmas, he knew he could come down and get in a suit like this. Not these clothes I'm talking about here. I'm talking about these arms and these legs and eyeballs and all that. Feet, so he could walk. He did that. He designed that so divinity could occupy such a thing. And then eventually he did that. And we've been talking about that. So why is that critical to our lesson? Because last week we talked about perfection by the resurrection. Now, what did that do? That says God the Son, who was face to face with the Father, took on flesh, came through the womb, which he designed. And you know, I'm real excited when I think about it, because when Adam was made, the Bible says the very first thing that was not good is that it's not good that the man should be alone. Wow. Say, wow, there ain't been no sin yet. All the way back in Genesis, the second chapter. It's not good that the man should be alone. How can it be something not good, Lord? It says in your book that there ain't been no sin yet. Because he made a woman in order to complete man. Now, you need to think about that, men. When you think about the woman that you have that God's given you, and if you don't have one, still think about it. Because he's got one for you. Amen. Women who don't have a man yet, God got one for you. Amen. He's got the right one for you. If those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not faint. You know, and I learned something from that. Just waiting on God. When I'm waiting, I'm in a blessed situation. That's what I want to say. You know why? Because you're in a blessed situation because he says, if you wait on the Lord, these things are going to happen. You're going to renew your strength. You felt tired, but he's going to renew your strength. Now, I don't know how it feels to mount up with wings as eagles. I can only imagine how that could feel. Somebody wrote a song, I'm going to fly like an eagle. You know, but how does it feel to mount up with wings? Now, I know I can soar high above my situation, whatever it is. He said, I'm going to run and not be weary. That means I can keep on going. It ain't over yet. I can keep on going. I can run another mile. And I can walk if I get tired and not faint. So I'm good. I'm in that blessing when I'm waiting on God. When you're in that waiting process, that's where you are. If you're waiting on the Lord, he's renewing your strength. He's letting you mount up with wings. You can't soar over the problem, if you like. But you can run and not be weary. Or you can just walk. Somebody say, I'm too old to run. Well, you can walk. And not faint. Keep on going. God's going to give you what you need to get to the place where he wants you to be. But so we go back to, it's not good that the man should be alone. Well, okay. God made woman. You know what he was thinking? I don't know exactly what he was thinking, but I do know that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, the Bible says. Wow. Made of a woman. No man touched Mary, but Jesus was born. And God knew that man would be alone if I don't have a way to come in this flesh and put on this suit, this man humanity, without being a sinner. So he fixed the very first woman in every one of you, ladies, in the audience, where you do not share your blood with your child. Doesn't happen. Never did. Doesn't need to. That's a scientific miracle. The children are in the womb and they do not share the bloodstream with the mother. That's why we say the woman carries the child. That's a beautiful thing. When the child comes out, the placenta and the umbilical cord all comes out with it. And he makes his own blood in the womb. It came from his father. So where did that blood from Jesus come from? Y'all know I like to talk about it. It's one of my pet subjects. It came from God put his son into a woman that he could take on flesh without taking on Adam's sin. That was the plan all the way from the beginning. And that's why it was not good that the man should be alone. Because we would have to be alone if we were all sinful and we don't have a way to be redeemed. But God made a way to be redeemed, for us to be redeemed. And so we talked about the perfection of the resurrection. Now that same baby that was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, who was the one that was 42 generations down the line from the promise of Abraham. She was in the line of King David. She came through that succession from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, 42 generations down, to be there right at the perfect time. That's what Paul was talking about in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time was come. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, born under the law. And you know what? We talked about it in Sunday school, to deliver us from the curse of the law. Wow. God already had a way in order to make for you and me a way out. He had a way in so he could make for me and you a way out. He could fix the problem of sin, that we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, by bringing his son out of a woman who would be without the sin of man. That's why it's very important. Don't let nobody spook you talking about, well, we don't know about that virgin birth. Well, how can you say you don't know about the virgin birth? You believe God scooped up some dust one day and made a man, but you got a problem believing in the virgin birth, and the Bible teaches it? Come on now. We talk about God. God can do anything he chooses to do. He is unlimited in his power. He is unlimited in wisdom and understanding. He has no limitations at all. You can trust him. He's completely trustworthy. He is completely righteous beyond what we can even imagine. Totally holy. The angels even have to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. They looked around. Look at it everywhere around here. The earth is filled with his glory. And so that God, he made that way for him to take on flesh without taking on Adam's sin. And the perfection of the resurrection is he lived this whole life walking by the power of God, because he was God the Son on earth to fulfill the law that you and I could not keep. The only thing he could do with anybody in humanity from the time of Adam up to this second, if he had to make it based on law, it sentenced you to hell. That's it. Because you broke my law. Nobody has kept his law. Nobody. I was watching these folks skating around this week. Y'all give me a minute as I digress. I'm going to try to get to the point. Talking about Bill O'Reilly. Okay, I used to watch his show every day. And we're so much into so-called moral purity. You know, there's nothing wrong with moral purity, but the problem is nobody has it. I don't care who you are. Why were you expecting him to have perfect moral purity? That's what I want to know. Who do you think you are that you can point a finger at him? He's just as sinful as you are. He needs the blood of Jesus just like you do. You can't get by on human works. It's not going to help you. I was hoping he would get that years ago. Because you know what he would say? He'd get up on the show and say something about, well, you know, the philosopher Jesus. What I said, what? I'm appalled. The who? The philosopher Jesus. Are you kidding me? Got to be kidding me. The philosopher Jesus. And I just told you this morning in the prayer, the Bible says no one greater than Solomon in wisdom on earth. And Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. So that lets you know there's no other man that tops the wisdom of Solomon except Jesus. And the reason there is that he is also God, not a philosopher. That's what's wrong with you. That's why your life ain't right. You're trusting in philosophy and not trusting in the gift that God has given. Not giving him the glory. Not giving him the praise. That's the problem. See, you can't stand on your own. I don't care who you are. You can put on some fancy clothes and walk around with sticks and candles. That will not make you holy. You can put a mitre on your head and carry a cross with Jesus. That is not making you holy. None of that stuff makes you holy. One way you can be made holy: confess your sin. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Just because you put on a fancy clothes and walk around and sprinkle water and all that, that does not make you holy. One way to be right with God, that's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So God put on that flesh, but he knew I could put it on with no contamination from the sin of Adam. So this is why I'm excited about this perfection statement last week. When Jesus came through, he knew what would happen, because y'all's judgment is twisted. The judgment of the governments who I set in charge is twisted. You know why that is? That's not no certain government. That's all of the governments. All of them are twisted. There isn't a pure, righteous government anywhere except in heaven. Only one spot where you can have a pure, righteous, just government. But government is not bad. I'm not telling you to be against government. Government is an institution God designed. He ordained it. Genesis 9:6. He said, if man sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God created he man. See, so he has given man the authority to regulate the affairs of men. And you know what? I'm not against government, because God is not against government. God started government. It was his idea. Government is a good thing if they are humbled underneath the mighty hand of God. The problem is most of them aren't. Most of them are power mad. They want to grab everything for me, me, me. And I'm going to step on you, 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 and you, all of you, to get whatever I want. That's how government is. They don't care who they step on. We got the big pot of money from all of you guys, so we can do what we want. They think that money is power. They say that, don't they? They even think power is something. They say power corrupts. And what, an absolute power? Corrupts absolutely. That's all you're going to get when you deal with government. Okay, so but government is not bad. I'm not ever telling you to be against government, because God designed it. But he knew the defectiveness of it. That's why when he came in as a child born in Bethlehem, the government was Herod. Said, oh, he didn't even know he was coming. He ain't studying his word. The folks around Israel, they was trying to say, well, we got Herod. The government said, well, Herod don't belong there. He's not in the succession of the lines of the kings of Israel. He's usurping the throne. See, he don't belong there at all. And then the wise men with some foreigners come out of another country and say, where is he who is born the king of the Jews? What? Born? You have to be born to be the king? No, he was troubled, the Bible says. And all Jerusalem with him. These folks who should have been there in the great city of the king were troubled. When the Magi came and said, where is he? We saw his star. Star? He got a star? My God, what kind of a man is this? He got a star that follows him. What? He was appalled. It blew his mind. What kind of king is that? You got a star? My, my, we might look at him and say, oh, you got a Bentley? No, I got a star that follows me. That's what kind of man he was. Well, he said, well, you know, go find him. Where is he supposed to be born? Perfect. Get them books y'all ain't been reading. Get the Bibles and bring them in here. Where is he supposed to be born? Oh, in Bethlehem, it says in Micah. Oh, okay. Well, you guys, go on over there to Bethlehem. Search and see, can you find him? And when you do, come back and let me know where he is. I want to worship him too. You liar. I'm going to worship you with this sword. Later on, we found out what was in his heart. When the Magi didn't come back, they were warned by an angel, go out another way. Don't go back there. And they went out another way. He figured out after a while, boy, they must not have come back. So he sent out the soldiers to go to every town and kill all the babies, 2 years old and under. Execute them in cold blood. Make sure you get them. No babies under 2 years old. Kill them all the males. Wow. That's what government will do for you. Evil government. But they did not succeed. God told Joseph, take your son, take Mary and her baby, and go into Egypt. And we'll protect you. And the angel went with him. And then later on, Herod died. Probably worried himself to death. Wondering what's up with this. This dude got a star? Are you kidding me? Blew his mind. And so later on, the angel came and told him, you all can go on back and settle in the land now because Herod, who sought the kid's life, is dead. See? So that kind of government is not getting anywhere. But Jesus, needless to say, they settled in Nazareth that the scripture might be fulfilled that he shall be called a Nazarene, the Bible says. He grew up to be a full-grown man, and he became a priest at the proper age of 30. He was in the church, let's call it the temple at that time. He was a rabbi, a master, they call him, which means teacher. And he went and he taught. But he taught differently than everybody else that taught. The word says that they when he spoke, it was like somebody who had authority. Wow. You know, you don't teach like Rabbi Elsanai, whoever he was over here. He said, you act like you mean that stuff you're saying. Wow, you know why I wrote the book? That's the reason why. I am the author and the finisher. So Jesus spoke with authority. See, I gave them all of what they need and what they've been studying. And I'm telling you, this is what you think, but this is what I say, Jesus said. Wow, boy, he was speaking with authority. But then they hated him. The religious people hated him. The government hated him. They wanted him dead. Only the folks who really believed God, that remnant of believers, were the ones who loved and trusted him. And they saw by his works that he was God. You know, they watched what he did. And they saw him do stuff no one else could ever do. He had more medicine, as we said in the prayer, in the hem of his garment than they had in their medicine stores. See, Walgreens, you out of business. But the hem of his garment is good enough. It's better than everything you sell. You see what I'm saying? But let me get you to where we are. The deal with the resurrection is God was willfully taking up on himself mankind so he could have the full human experience. Adam didn't even have the full human experience that you and I have had. Did you know that? He was a man when he was made. He was never a baby. He was never in a womb. I said, when I get in heaven and have millions of years to walk around, I'm going to be looking for who is it that has a belly button. I don't believe he does because he was not. Now, this guy just gave him one for the appearance, but he wasn't born. Then you'll know who that is. Looking for that one with no belly button and a scar on his side. That'll be Adam, my God. Let me muse, y'all. Y'all don't go, so don't tell nobody. Pastor said that's in the Bible. It's not in there. I just want to say. I've been thinking about it, you know. And when you start thinking about it, you go, okay, wow, you know. But then, now just think about it. I think that's all right. That's better than some other kind of stuff we think about. So in either case, Jesus was born. He came through the womb of a virgin. He was the only one that opened the womb from the inside, coming out. That's why Luke says that holy to the Lord is the firstborn that opened up the womb, the firstborn male. He's the one who truly fulfilled that. And so when he lived his life walking perfectly before God Almighty, he lived a perfect, spotless, sinless, holy life. And he was misunderstood, ridiculed, talked about like a dog, spat up on. We know what happened. It ended up at the cross. They took a flagrant murderer, Barabbas, that they knew was a snake. Harris said, Pilate said, okay, I got to get out of this fix. I'm in a terrible fix. Hey, well, let me offer you these two here. Which one you want to let go? he knew they're going to say, get rid of that Barabbas. He broke in my house yesterday. He killed my uncle. He's awful. Let you kill him and let Jesus go, because they really had nothing on Jesus. What did they say? Let him go. Let Barabbas go. Crucify him. Wow, their judgment was warped. Crucify the Son of God who hadn't done anything. What report you got on Jesus? Oh, he healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He walked on water. He stilled the storm. He raised the dead. Well, what's wrong with that? Pilate's going, what's wrong with that? This dude here, he stole out your house. He slapped your mother. He killed your uncle. But he can go. Let him go. Wow. You know what Barabbas means? Son of the Father. The name Bar is son. Abbas, the Father. So the Son of the Father was his name, but he didn't act like it, did he? But he got let go, and Jesus got crucified. But God knew, that's, he was showing you back to my original statement, governments, religious organizations, that's what they do if they don't stay in God's word. They crucify the innocent. Even if you're God, and we know you're God, they figured he's God. Who else could you think was doing that? Who else could be doing that? Who's going to go to a blind man, been born blind, and tell him to go seeing? Who but God? You can't even go now without getting a cataract fixed. These folks here, they don't know nothing about eyeballs. I mean, you get some stuff done, but I'm saying, not a man born blind, and Jesus just tells him, go and here, cover your eyes with some mud, now get down to the pool of Siloam and wash. And he came back seeing, looked in that water and saw his face for the first time. Wow! That one there, you say, put him to death. So that shows you the twistedness of human culture that's fallen in sin. And that includes everybody from the Pope on down to the drunkard out on the corner. Amen. There's no difference. None at all. No difference. Well, but you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't go out with girls who do. But that don't make you holy. Doesn't make you holy. What makes you holy is the confession of your sin. When you say to God, I am not right. Something in me is broke. I'm not totally twisted, but I am not right. I'm not totally right. That's the difference. God wants the confession of a heart that knows that you have issues. And I came to give my perfection to pay in exchange for your weaknesses, your inadequacies. Yeah, and simply put in the word, that's called sin. One evil thought, Jesus said, you can call your brother a fool. That's sin. Enough to send you into hellfire. That's what it says. Now, don't say you can get by with it. I mean, just because, you know, we're relatively more or less sinful, but nobody is perfect. The perfect one was misjudged, crucified, and then the good news is that after 3 days and nights, as he had preached for all that time, since he was not guilty, death could not hold him. So that's what the power of the resurrection is. And the perfection of it is he is the only person professing to be a religious leader that has ever defeated death. Buddha is in the grave. I have to say it. I try not to mention folk like that. Mohammed is in the grave. Confucius is in the grave. We can go on and on. Name all them philosophers. Aristotle, Plato, whoever you want to name, in the grave. Whatever you came up with couldn't keep you out of the grave. Jesus went in the grave and then got up with all power. So he went in there for me. He went in there for you. And if you believe in him, that's why you, this I say, perfection by the resurrection. So we're going to just change channels here right now. I want to talk to you this week about Jesus, the focal point of salvation. He is the one that you have to tune in on. He is the center of God's will for all humanity. You know what those people we mentioned, deceived by all these false things that say they're God? God wants all of them saved. I'm not trying to put them down. If anything, this is a wake-up call. If you're trusting in Zen or whatever kind of thing it is, yin and yang, get off of it. Jesus is the only one that can save you. Check your history. Find out who got out the grave. That's what you need to do. And you know what you're going to find out? There's one that got out the grave. That one has the answer that I need for my life. And he has the answer that you need for your life. If he was in the grave, there wouldn't be a church. What is there to preach about if you got a dead Savior? There's nothing to preach about. But we preach him because Christ defeated the grave. The grave couldn't hold him. He defeated the devil. Satan has no more place because Jesus stepped on his head, if you will. His foot bruised the head of the devil. You see? And he did that for you and all who believe. Doesn't make any difference where you are, what nationality you are. Doesn't make any difference what you used to believe. Stop it now and trust Christ. He'll save you today. He won't hold that against you. He loves everybody because he knew that he was going to bless the seed of Adam. That's what he said. So Christ is the focal point. Now, this is why you find, and I'm going to try to wrap up my thoughts as soon as I can here, that Jesus is the one that's contested all the time. He is the stone that the builders rejected, the prophet said. He is a rock of offense to those who don't believe. But he is a cornerstone to those who trust him. He is a solid rock that you can build your life on. See, and you can't build anywhere else. He said anywhere else is nothing but sinking sand. If you don't build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, he is the focal point of salvation. Now, this is not anything new. So you would think, oh, you know, the Jews, they should have understood this. David told them when he wrote, and I'm going to read just a few verses, I will declare the decree. This is a decree from God. That means an edict coming from the Most High. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Wow. Read this next one with me if you have it in front of you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all those who put their trust in him. That's the decree of God. And it's to all the nations. See, there's no one anywhere that Jesus won't save if you believe in him. And the Bible says, be wise. And it speaks to the rulers and the authorities. All you kings, Mr. Trump, I hope you hear this. Be instructed, you judges of the earth, all y'all who are ruling countries and leading people. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, that means honor him. Do homage to him. Obey him. Bow yourself before him. And blessed, he says, lest he be angry. God is going to be upset with you if you deny his Son. That's what that means. Don't go try to put Jesus somewhere out of the picture. You have no audience with God without the Son. And God is, not only do you have no audience, but he is angry at you because you have not believed in his Son. Is that justifiable? Let me ask the question. Is it justifiable? Let me ask the question. You know what? I believe it is. You want to know why? Because you can't tell me you don't know about Jesus. There might be somebody who's way out of touch somewhere on some distant aisle, but all of you in the civilized world, it's 2017 only because of Jesus. Nobody else is in that position that the clock is ticking based on your birth. So I want to submit that to every ear. You need to trust the one that your birth certificate is surrounded by. You wouldn't even have a way to measure how old you are without Jesus. Nobody else is like that on the planet. So I give you that just to check that out. Put down your books. Open up your calendar. Check it out. He is the only one with that credential on earth. So I think you need to listen to what I'm saying. It says here, be instructed, you judges of the earth. I'm instructing you right now. Your tenure in office is based on the birth of Christ. This is 2017 Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody else has that credential. Serve the Lord. That's the next thing. With fear. And rejoice with trembling. In other words, have highest respect for him. Notice that serve, the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's the tetragrammaton. If you want to serve the Father, you trust in the Son. Amen. And if you don't know the Son, you don't know the Father. You cannot have the Father without the Son. Amen. The Father's angry at you if you try to neglect his Son. Amen. He's angry, and you will perish in the way. That's what it says. When his wrath is kindled but a little, it only takes a little of God's wrath. But blessed, that means happy, yeah. Secure. Just fully, in other words, you're just engulfed with what you need. You feel filled up. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. And I want you to see this now. And this is nothing, that was an Old Testament inference telling you that the Son is God. And God wants you to trust him. He is the King. We looked at that a few weeks ago. In the New Testament, in what we call the High Priestly Prayer, some people call it the Lord's Prayer because it's actually God the Son praying to God the Father, it says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. There's 1 hour in time. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. See, so Christ glorifies the Father. In his humanity, he glorifies the Father who is incomprehensible. We can't take in everything that God is. Our mind won't allow us to understand the fullness of God. So what did God do? He took on a body like that one I made for you. You know what? When he said, let us make man in our image, he was talking about an image of the invisible things that you and I are. You know, some of the most beautiful things that you and I are invisible. Well, I like joy. You can't see it. You might be able to tell when I'm having it, I'm experiencing it. I like laughter. You can't see it, but it means I got a good feeling on the inside. See, I love music. You can't see it, but it makes you feel good. It can lift you up, or it can depress you if it's bad music. So all these invisible things are wonderful. And God has given us the capacity to understand and to think and to see. Vision is an invisible kind of a thing. Even though it's your very eyesight, the fact I can look across the room, see colors and people and grass and birds, that's an invisible thing. Light rays are coming into my flesh receptacles that take that and transmit it into an image in my brain. That's an invisible thing. Oral stuff that comes in through the ear. The spoken word. The Bible says there's power of life and death is in the tongue. So God has given you the ability to speak life out of your mouth. To bless somebody, you know, to sing yourself happy, to pray and call on his name. If I need something, I know you hear me, oh God. All of that he's given you. And so he says, as thou hast given him, speaking of the Son, power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life. Look at that. To as many as thou hast given him. You have to be prompted by God to have a relationship with him. And I want you to know, no matter who you are, you might be sitting there thinking, oh, God don't want a relationship with me. I'm a lousy person. He knows it. You know what? You're sitting around two or three lousy people. I'm not trying to talk about y'all. But I just got to say the truth. Nobody has it together. You're being preached to by one that's lousy. I don't have it together. But I know God loves me. And he made a way for me. He accepts me just like I am. He gave his Son to show you how much I love you. I love you so much that I'm going to take this perfect one, allow him to pay your bill in full, let him taste death for every one of you, and then when he's done with that you need, I'm going to say, get up on there, my son. Come back. And so the resurrection is that perfection that God provides for you so that you can know I'm covered. God covered me. He gave his Son for me. And this eternal life is about a relationship that we have with the Father through the Son. Here's the definition, verse 3, John 17, 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, that tells you there's but one, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Everlasting life is the ability to know the true God and his son whom he sent, so that you can know I love you. We read this one, John 3:16. Let me see if everybody knows. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. Whoever believes in him should not perish. Doesn't make any difference where you are. I don't care who anybody told you. The only one that got out the grave says, I did that for you, to give you perfection from God, a perfect relationship, which we call eternal life. Notice what Jesus said. This is what he did as he analyzes himself. 17:4, John 17:4. I have glorified thee on the earth. That's what his first advent was about. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I did everything you required, Father, to save those who you love, and to put a proclamation out to all the world, from the kings down to the paupers, that whoever believes in me will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Notice what Jesus said. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work. I did everything you required. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, if that's not a statement of the divinity of the Son, I don't know what one is. In other words, I didn't just pop up in Bethlehem 33 years ago. I was in your face in eternity before the world began. So don't go tell me Jesus is just a man born. No, read your Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And everything was made by him, all things. Without him, there was not made anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth into the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. So we want you to know today that Jesus is the focal point of your salvation. He loves you. If you don't have a right relationship with God, it's not his fault. The deity of Jesus Christ is the main biblical teaching that tells us God's view on the subject, that his son is Lord and must be properly understood, trusted, and obeyed in order for the free gift of salvation to be given freely to each one who puts their trust in Jesus Christ. Put all your trust in Jesus. That's all you need to do. That's your highest priority. You know, hey, you have a priority list. It should say at the top, trust Jesus. Everything else falls in place. The pre-incarnate discussions of Jesus throughout the entire Bible indicate that it has always been the intention of God the Father to manifest himself, to provide to all who believe the free gift of salvation by his grace alone, which escalates his glory more and more. Every time another person believes, God is glorified. Why? Because you've been adopted. God adopts you. You're now my son. You're my daughter. I love you. You and my family. I'm going to talk to you every day. When you read my word, I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to be with you. He said, what? Always. Even to the end of the world. It is the primary duty and pleasure of the church to uphold the proclamation of the gospel. That's good news. That God loves you no matter who you are. Which is God's great news to all who believe that there is salvation in no other but Jesus, who was always face-to-face with God prior to his mission of salvation to save the world personally as the Son of David, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who Jesus is. We hope that's who he is to you. We hope you know that. I hope you understand that. God wants you to be a Christian, that is, like Christ. How do you do that? You trust Christ. You believe in Christ. Disbelieve that what he did was for you. And when you trust him, the relationship starts right there. You trust me, that means I'm going to give you eternal life. That's what Jesus promises. Eternal life is a beautiful relationship between a wretch that's undone
filtered through a son that loved me to a holy father who is high above all things. And he fixed it where he will never see your sin. If you trust Christ, I got my sunglasses on. I don't see your sin.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful thing for me. Maybe y'all holy and you don't either. You know, you could be. I don't know. Maybe you're holy. I don't know. But in order for you to be holy, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody wrote a song. Said, Lord, I want to be holy, set apart for you. Lord, I want to be holy, a vessel tried and true. When I come into your throne room, I receive the strength that I need to make my life a living sacrifice for you. God says you can be holy right now. Let us stand to our feet, please. You want to be holy? Call on the Lord. He gives holiness. He gives right relationships. He gives salvation. It's free. And he wants you to have it. He's generous. God is generous. Lord God, we praise you and we bless you. We stand to our feet today, Lord God, just to praise you and thank you for the mercy that you have shown. And through the gospel, the good news that you gave Jesus, allowed him to be crucified, misunderstood, spit on, everything, Lord God, mangled, whipped and beaten, oh God, mercilessly. Shed his blood that would be shed for our sins, Lord God. And you allowed him to be crucified. He himself willfully took the blows of the whip and took the nails in his hands, took the nails in his feet. He took the thorny crown on his head. He took the humiliation and the disgusting disgrace of being hung up high while they gaggled for his clothes in the crowd in order to come, that we could come to him, Lord, without shame. He was ashamed and disgraced. It said there in the word that it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, despising the shame, but had sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We come today, Father, with simple faith. You said if we come with faith as a grain of a mustard seed, that we can know that we have eternal life by faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, you didn't leave him on the cross. You allowed him to be buried in Joseph's borrowed tomb. And then, oh God, on the third day, you rose up out of the grave in order to show us that you have defeated the grave, defeated death, defeated hell, defeated the devil. And you were seen alive for 40 days by your apostles after the resurrection. Father, we thank you for Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we thank you for faith. You said faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Fill somebody on their feet right now, God, with faith. To trust and believe only in Jesus. Believe that you have raised him from the dead. Lord God, we praise you for salvation.
Hallelujah.
Today. Fill somebody's heart with the knowledge of the gospel, God. Let them quit struggling in life, Lord.
Touch.
And they find out that you are their friend. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you today, God. In the name of Jesus. Father, fill somebody right now with your
spirit. Right now, Lord.
You said whoever believes in you will be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise for the day of redemption.
My Lord.
And so, Father, we ask you to seal somebody in the room
right
today.
Now, Father.
We ask it all in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
He is the focal point of salvation. And we thank you for Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your word today.
Thank you,
in
Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Father, we ask you to bless and keep whoever it
bless,
is
Lord.
Inviting you into their life for the first time.
Right now,
we
man.
Ask it all to your praise, all to your glory.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, we
Jesus,
pray.
Man.
And everybody say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Give God a praise. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank Lord. You, Lord.
And if you're here today and you have made a decision that's to trust Lord. Christ, you can let us know. Amen. Right now, we give
yes,
you an opportunity
Lord.
If you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ
deliver,
for the
Lord.
First time. It is a good day to be saved.
Deliver,
the Bible
Lord.
Says today is the day of salvation.
Lord.
Now is the acceptable
yeah,
time.
Yeah, Lord.
Amen. If you, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Amen. He said, don't harden your heart. Come right now. while you have a chance. If you would like to be a member, perhaps you're already saved. So we want to offer that to you. Some of you are already saved. You just haven't committed yourself to a church home right now. So if that happens to be you, you may come at this time also. We want to accept you, embrace you. We have people here to love you, that understand what you're going through. Because all of us are going through some things. Amen. But we're here to help you and to be a shoulder for you to lean on. See, God, that's why he gave that authority to the church. We talked about that yesterday. It's a wonderful thing to be in a group of people. All of us basically need some kind of help. I need a shoulder to lean on every now and then. I need a pat on the back every now and then. You know, I might need to be rebuked every now and then. But that's what we're here for, to check one another and hold one another up. And so we thank God for this fellowship that he calls the church. You know what? This is what I really love. You know, God's got government. He made that. But he also has the church. The church has authority in the earth. God, you know what? The government is not responsible to tell people about Jesus. He didn't entrust that with them. He said, no, I'm going to give it to the church. You and me. People who believe, just like those 12. He called some fishermen. He didn't go up to the temple and say, see, who's going to be my disciple? No, you know what? He went down in the neighborhoods, in the hood. And he got Peter and Andrew, and he started to bring folks that said, well, who is this? What kind of folk is this he called? You know, they talked about him everywhere they went. These folks that quit their job to follow after him. They lost their mind. His wife might even say, what you doing quitting your job? Got a lot of nerves. You better get that paycheck, dude. What's wrong with you? I don't know what she said. I'm just using a bit here. But they walked away and followed him for 3 years. Wow. Peter even said, I don't care what they do. I'm going to follow you, Lord. All of these might forsake you, but not me. What did he do? He went forsook him 3 times. Boy, I don't know him. Are you sure you don't know him? You talk like him. No, I don't know him. But you know what? Your speech is giving you away. And then he cursed, the Bible says.
That's what it said.
Woo! And then Jesus looked up at him, and he said, well, he went on and wept bitterly. But God didn't call perfect people, because you know why? Because there aren't any. There aren't any. Nobody's perfect. But I'm saved. I'm covered by the blood. I'm getting better.
Come on now.
Not as bad as I used to be.
All right.
Amen. I'm getting better. My mind and my heart is set on it. And I'm not going to give up. Amen. We have done as God commands. We hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for each of you, and we pray that you got a very, very